Proudly presented by Provident Payments, this is Hometown Heroes, celebrating everyday Americans who answer the call of duty.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes and a special episode in honor of Holocaust Remembrance Day, observed in Jerusalem this past week with a special ceremony at Yad Vashem, the World Holocaust Center. I have a video of the entire ceremony linked online for you at hometownheroesradio.com. Just a reminder, though, that some of the details discussed today, whether from World War II veterans who have shared their stories on Hometown Heroes or from the ceremony this week in Israel, can be very difficult to hear. If you have young children with you and you're concerned it may be too much for them to digest, I just want to repeat that advanced warning for you. One of the speakers at Yad Vashem's torchlighting ceremony this week was the president of Israel, Isaac Herzog, who addressed the crowd in Hebrew. In this excerpt, you'll hear the English translator.
There are moments in which one black and white photo tells the whole story, reverberates all of the words. I am standing here before you as I carry with me, etched in my heart, such a photo, a rare picture that anyone who has seen it will never be able to forget. The eyes see it, the brain perceives it, but the soul does not want to believe it, that the black and white is actually darker than black. It is not a picture of the big numbers, the thousands, the tens of thousands, the millions. It is a photo of one family, a Jewish family, a family executed by the Nazi satanic henchmen and their collaborators. A mother and her son at the edge of the pit. The barrels of the rifles touching her back. You cannot see the face of the woman, nor the faces of her children. A moment before her body collapses into the pit of death, she bends down towards her young children. And in one moment, all the rifles emit smoke. They shoot her together. They do not suffice with one bullet. They are coordinated, efficient. One child falls beneath her. With whatever power she has left in her, the mother holds the hand of her young son, who is sitting barefoot on his knees on the blood-drenched land. What did the mother whisper to her little son? Did she tell him not to cry? And the boy, did he cry? Did he keep quiet? Did he understand? Was he afraid? The picture is silent, but its voice cries out, shocking, mesmerizing. Thou shalt not kill. The photo was taken on October 13, 1941. When I saw it in Wendy Lauer's book, a book that was all about this picture, focusing only on it, I felt my entire being overcome with sadness, rage, and pain. These atrocities occurred in so many towns and villages, more than we can count, and in all of them, the sun shined over the valley, birds chirped, the forest was quiet, and the slayer slew. Millions of our people were tortured, murdered, massacred by the most horrific machine of evil known to mankind. 3 years after the gates of camps opened up, Holocaust survivors became the heroes of the resurrection, a miracle, role models, and a symbol. A Jewish child will never have to hide in a dark and isolated cellar from those who seek to kill him. Parents will never be torn from their children and set on their last journey only because they were Jews. And never, ever will despicable murderers stand behind a Jewish family, shoot them, and throw them into the valley of the shadow of death.
Just a snippet there from Yad Vashem's Holocaust Remembrance Ceremony and the words of Israeli President Isaac Herzog. You can watch his whole speech and see that photograph he referenced at hometownheroesradio.com. A relevant book on this topic that I also have linked for you online is The Liberator by prolific World War II author Alex Kershaw. It focuses on the liberation of the Dachau concentration camp by the 3rd Battalion, 157th Infantry Regiment, part of the 45th Infantry Division. Colonel Felix Sparks is the protagonist of Kershaw's book, Rex Rainey, then a 23-year-old from Western Colorado, was one of those young Americans who followed Sparks into a scene he never could have conceived.
We were about an hour after the camp was entered before we got in there. I don't think we had an hour before we were ready to go back. And then from then on, it was a simple march into Munich, and
right.
The war was over.
Did you see any of the survivors of
the
camp?
Oh, yes. Yes, they would come and try to claw on you, get you to take them out. But they were walking skin and bones. I didn't see near all of them, but yes, I saw probably, 50 or 100.
You saw enough to get a feel for what had happened there and what kind of
too much
cruelty people were capable of. I don't want to make you dwell on it, but anytime I meet someone like you who was there, and I think I mentioned to you, my grandfather was at Buchenwald when it was liberated. It's not just a straw dog. There actually are people in this world that don't think that happened, that think it was all made up. And you were there. You saw it.
I'd hate to tell you how many people were dead or dying in stock cars, in gondolas. Some of them were half in and half out of a train, couldn't move anymore. You can't imagine. I can't imagine what it was like, really. And I spent about an hour there.
Yeah. And did, maybe not in the moment, but eventually, did that experience and your coming face to face with that give you maybe even a new understanding or appreciation for how important the work that you'd been doing over there was?
It made you do a little thinking. It made you willing to travel to Denver when that Colonel Sparks arranged for a marker in remembrance of the Holocaust to be placed.
The memories of what he witnessed at Dachau remained with Rex Rainey until his passing in 2018. It was never easy to talk about, but he did so in order that we would understand and that we would remember. A few times over the years, we've encountered veterans who witnessed elements of the Holocaust but had never spoken about it. Such was the case in South Bend, Indiana, with Paul Davis, who as a 20-year-old serving in Europe had heard rumors about how the Nazi regime was treating Jews and other political prisoners.
We didn't hear anything more than anybody else did, but we didn't realize it was near as bad as what it was until we did liberate that one camp.
Yeah.
And boy, when we let them people go free, they were running.
If they could, if they were able, and a lot of them weren't.
Right.
And you just showed me some photos that you took there.
Yes, with my little brownie box camera.
Brownie box camera. And I'm not trying to be melodramatic, but this is the truth. You told me as you were showing me those pictures that your children have never seen them.
Right.
It's more than 70 years ago.
You never have seen them, dude. Didn't you want to look at them tonight?
Well, and I don't blame anyone for not wanting to look. But there was a reason that you took them.
Right.
Can you, I know it's not easy to talk about, and everyone can hear the emotion in your voice, and I can see it on your face. Can you describe for us what you saw, what that experience was like, and what it did to you?
Well, I never thought anything like that could happen to a human being. And it was terrible to have to see that.
You saw people who were literally a shadow of their former selves, like less than half their body weight.
Right.
Skeletons with a little skin on them.
Right.
Some dead, some alive.
Right.
You saw a crematorium where bodies had been burned?
Yes. That's the one picture I had there of the crematorium.
You saw bodies piled on the ground?
Right.
What did you see on the faces of those concentration camp victims who were still alive when you got there?
Well, they were so happy to see us and that they could leave there. Where they went, I don't know. But they were sure happy to get out of that camp.
One, when I talk to people like you who experience that, I often wonder about the timing of it all. Mm-hmm. If you see so many dead and you see so many close to death, how many more would have been dead a day later, a week later?
Right. And a lot of them were Jewish.
Yeah. And as hard as it is to believe, there are people in the world today who are saying that none of this happened.
Right.
What do you say to them?
I said, I was there. I seen it. I know what happened.
And all these years later, does it give you some satisfaction to know that you and those guys that you went through there with that liberated that camp, that you very well could have saved those people's lives?
Right. We'd have been there sooner.
Well, and even the people that were still alive there. I mean, had you not come through when you came through, who knows?
Yeah.
Was there any other part of that experience at a concentration camp? And I'm sure you were probably only there for, what, a few hours?
No, I'd say we were there for couple of days.
Oh, you were that long?
Yes.
Did you have to clean some things up?
Yes. We helped with some of the bodies.
You had to move dead bodies?
Yes. It was hard, but we did it.
You're not even 21 years old?
No. It's hard to realize that anybody could treat a human being like that.
Yeah. Well, and who knows how many more people that would have happened to if that Nazi war machine had been allowed to achieve victory.
Right.
Yeah, I guess that's a question. You know that this war is nearing its end by this time.
Mm-hmm.
But did seeing that add to the motivation or resolve you already had?
Yes.
Give you a clear understanding of what you were fighting for?
That's right. The people in the United States don't realize how lucky they are.
The late Paul Davis, another witness to what really happened in World War II, another veteran who believes so strongly that as difficult as it can be to discuss, the history of the Holocaust should never be forgotten, rewritten, or erased. It's time for our final break, but when we come back, a decorated American veteran who lost most of his family to Hitler's forces of extermination, this special episode of Hometown Heroes will be right back after this.